Welcome to the Capital News. I'm your host, Alex Kritis. Today is Tuesday, May 18th, 2021. Thank you so much for joining me. The title of today's podcast, Bitcoin or Bitcoin? Those of you who have been with me know my views on Bitcoin in particular, as well as the overall cryptocurrency space. Now, when it comes specifically to Bitcoin, I lean more towards it being a con than something that is truly going to revolutionize the financial market industry and perhaps so many other things that a lot of proponents and advocates of Bitcoin state. I just simply don't believe it. Now, if you want to talk about some cryptocurrencies, some of them that might have staying power because they actually have a use case, yeah, I can hear that argument when it comes to revolutionizing the financial industry. I can see that. When it comes to perhaps blockchain technology, I can perhaps see that as well. But Bitcoin doesn't do anything unique. It is not the greatest. It is not the best. It can be replicated. It can be greatly improved upon. And there are other cryptocurrencies out there that exist that do beat Bitcoin on so many metrics, one after the other. And really, it's not even a competition. And there are many financial institutions and central banks around the globe that have been adopting, or at least testing, I should say, with some other cryptocurrencies. Again, they're not using Bitcoin. And the reason they're not using Bitcoin is because it's too expensive. It's clunky. Okay, you can process more transactions with Visa and MasterCard, okay, at a cheaper price. I mean, if you're going to build a better mousetrap, it has to do more and cost less. That's how it's supposed to work. This thing is extremely expensive and very inefficient. So what is the use case? What is the reason for adopting Bitcoin? And one of the arguments out there by so many of these advocates for Bitcoin is that it can pretty much just solve anything. There's never really a negative news story. It's always spun and turned around as something that is positive. You know, out of the gate, Bitcoin was supposed to be something that was all about decentralization and transparency. And it was about going against the man, if you will. Okay, going against quote-unquote the man. That means circumventing the government, circumventing central banks, circumventing the big banks, because those are the bad guys. And I agree with that part. Those are the bad guys. I don't disagree with that. But now, one of their arguments, again, the proponents of Bitcoin is, oh my goodness, look at all of the buy-in that we're starting to see from Wall Street and other global banks, major banks, all over the place. They're starting to train their bankers, i.e. their salespeople, to go out and sell Bitcoin to investors. Convince them to add this to your portfolio. Wait a minute, I thought you were supposed to be against the big banks and them getting on board with it. Now, oh, it's the greatest thing ever. Everybody's getting involved. Goldman Sachs wants to start selling it. Morgan Stanley wants to get involved in getting their investors on board. They're high net worth individuals because they understand the risk. They understand that this is speculation. They understand that this is gambling. So if you're going to get involved with it, you better have some money that you can afford to lose. I mean, we even heard that from Bill Gates, okay? And I don't think highly of this guy at all, but at least he came out and made the comment. He said, if you're going to get involved with cryptocurrency, well, you know, Elon Musk can afford to do this, but you might want to look the other way. I happen to agree with that from Bill Gates. I don't agree with much of anything from Bill Gates, especially with respect to this pandemic, but that's a side issue. And the other argument of Bitcoin proponents is that it's all about transparency. But as soon as you ask them who created it, they don't know. I mean, somebody named Satoshi, is that a person? Is that an organization? Sounds Japanese. Is it a Japanese individual? Is it somebody from Russia, China, North Korea, Iran, Venezuela, the United States, Canada, South Africa, Nigeria, Australia? Nobody knows, but it's all about transparency. And that's another thing. What happens if it is from a country that is hostile to the United States of America? Do we really want to be funding this hostile actor? Because we know the vast majority of Bitcoin and the Bitcoin that is out there is owned by the whales. I don't know the number off the top of my head, but just sake of argument, a handful of individuals or institutions have it. Okay, because we don't know who they are. But that's it. And again, this is supposed to be decentralized. But a handful, a small amount, basically control the market. Again, you just set up these arguments and Bitcoin starts to collapse basically immediately. But it's the lottery ticket. It's the craze. It's the speculative fervor that is never going to end. It's just another mania. This is going to be one of the poster children of this virtual everything bubble. You know, it would be nice if this was the only thing and this would be the poster child, but there are so many other things that have been going on because of the distortionary effects and distortionary policies that have been implemented from one government and one central bank after the next. So there are going to be many, many poster children of this virtual everything bubble, and they could come down with great rapidity. They skyrocketed up. They may very well come down with an even greater speed. I mean, currently Bitcoin is at $39,300 a coin. $39,300 a coin. Down 8.25% right now. We're going to get to some brief articles discussing this, because one of the reasons why Bitcoin has been under the gun is because of those comments made from Elon Musk, which we've discussed. And now China is making news again in the cryptocurrency world and really targeting and singling out Bitcoin, saying we're banning it. It's going to be banned. You cannot do, and you can't transact in Bitcoin. They're not banning their citizens from holding Bitcoin, at least not now, or other cryptocurrencies, but you cannot exchange it. You can't use it as payment. And we'll get to that momentarily. But of course, that again was another argument of people who support Bitcoin. That it's decentralized, man. The government can't do anything about it. Oh, really? It looks like they can do something about it, and it looks like they did do something about it. And I imagine other countries are going to get on the bandwagon as well with China on this, because governments are going to defend their own currencies. And a lot of countries around the globe and central banks are in the process right now of developing or rolling out and testing central bank digital currencies, CBDCs. Many of you, I'm sure, are aware of this and have read articles or have heard stories on the media about these central bank digital currencies. God help us. But that's what's coming. So you really think that you're going to be able to compete with the system as it is right now? Again, I'm all for decentralization. I am all about free market capitalism. I am all about abolishing the Federal Reserve and all central banks for that matter. I am all about abolishing the federal income tax and so many other taxes and regulations. It's not even funny. But you also have to be realistic in the same vein. All right, again, audience members who have been with me understand where I'm coming from. They understand that I'm a bigger believer when in gold and silver, precious metals, and commodities as opposed to these cryptocurrencies, because gold and silver have proven the test of time. They have outlasted empires. Persian Empire gone. Greek Empire gone. Roman Empire gone. Ottoman Empire gone. One after the next. And gold and silver keep standing up. It's not about getting that winning lottery ticket. And I understand how fascinating it is. I understand the allure. I understand the struggles that so many people are going through. I can empathize. I can sympathize with it. I can feel for people that are living paycheck to paycheck and are struggling and have one issue after the next, and they're just hoping, hey, maybe I put a few hundred dollars here and in some of these cryptocurrencies, and maybe I'll be a millionaire. It's a lottery ticket is what they're hoping for. And that, when you take a step back and take a deep breath is really something that I think we have to pay greater attention to, as to why people are so desperate, why people are engaged in such behavior. It's because they are struggling. It's because the cost of living is going up. It's because they cannot get ahead, or they feel like they cannot get ahead. And they understand that the future, especially younger people, younger generations, they know that their future has been stolen from them. They might not be able to explain it in ways that I explain it on this podcast, but they know, they can see it. They know what they're up against. They know that they have tens of thousands, maybe even hundreds of thousands of dollars in student debt, and they can't find jobs. And they get it. They get it. What they don't get, a lot of them, unfortunately, because of the education that they've received, they don't get the economics behind this. They don't get the genesis of how this all started. And that's what gives me great concern, because a lot of these younger people are flocking to the ideas of socialism, which, of course, is the death knell. That is not the path we want to go down, but that is what is being adopted. We need to reverse course. If we can reverse course and truly adopt free market capitalism, our best days are ahead of us. I truly believe that, because of the technology we have, because of the size, the demographics of the younger generations. Okay, the millennial generation here in the U.S. is huge. Okay, so that means there's a ton of opportunity out there. But we keep getting in our own way with these inflationary and asinine and criminal policies one after the next, because this has been the practice for generations. And they don't want to stop it, because they know they're trapped, and they know when the music stops, that's it. They're kaput. So they don't want to deal with the responsibility. They are not leaders. They're criminals. That's what they are. So I can get on board with people who support Bitcoin on that argument, get around the system, be decentralized, you know, criticize the central banks, federal governments, etc. I'm all on board with that. But you have to do a better job at telling me what the use case is of Bitcoin when there are other cryptocurrencies out there that do a better job. Okay? You just have to do it. And now we have Elon Musk, who's supposed to be a super genius, who's supposed to be the greenest of green entrepreneurs out there, who got on board with Bitcoin several months ago, bought about $1.5 billion worth of Bitcoin to put on the books of Tesla. And then lo and behold, a few short months later, which is where we are today, he comes out and tweets, oh, you know what? Bitcoin's probably not that good of an idea, at least not now, because it uses so much energy. You're telling me he just figured this out? Do you think we were born yesterday? So the other argument about Bitcoin is that, oh, it's a store of value, because they got to keep going down the chain as to what this thing is. They have to always change their narrative. So now it's a store of value. Is it really a good store of value when an idiot can come out and tweet something and the market collapses? Is it really that good of a store of value? No, it isn't. That's how simple it is to answer this question. There's nothing to think about. This is the greater fool theory. All right, you take it and you hope that there's another idiot behind you who's going to pay a higher price for it. That's what you're dealing with here with Bitcoin. Again, might be a different story with some of these other cryptocurrencies out there, but Bitcoin's a joke as far as I'm concerned. Because I listen to the arguments, I listen to debates, I listen to people that come on Bloomberg, and especially CNBC, because that's just, I mean, they're obsessed with Bitcoin over there. One person after the next, they just can't answer these basic questions. Yet they just come up with one excuse after the next to continue to pump it. And we're going to start seeing more regulatory clarity across the board, not obviously out of China, because they're not any type of gold standard when it comes to that. But you're going to start seeing some things out of more west, out of the West, out of the United States, out of Europe, etc., that are probably going to come down with very similar rulings, because, hey, the Federal Reserve is going to end up coming out with their digital currency. The ECB is going to start coming out with theirs. And you think they want to compete with others? Okay, now again, that could be an argument, and I'll give that to Bitcoin to say, well, look, they're taking it down because it's so effective. They don't want to compete. I can understand that. You know, governments don't want to compete with anybody. Once they come in, they want to take over. So I can understand that, but you have to have a better mousetrap. Bitcoin is not the answer. There might be some other cryptocurrencies that could be the answer, but it's not Bitcoin. All right. So we'll get to those articles here momentarily. Market performance. We have U.S. housing starts fall much more than expected. Housing starts in the U.S. shrank 9.5% to an annualized 1.569 million in the month of April from a 15-year high of 1.733 million in the month of March, well below market expectations of 1.71 million. Likely due to rising costs for lumber and other materials and difficulties to find workers. Gee, you think? Starts fell for the single-family segment, and double-digit decreases were seen in both the Midwest and the South. Meanwhile, building permits edged up 0.3% to 1.76 million compared to forecasts of 1.77 million. Well, housing taking a breather, there's no surprise there. Construction materials have been on a tear, especially lumber, and off of this news, and really just continuing trend over the past couple of days. Lumber continues its downward climb. We'll get to that here momentarily. Forex markets, we have the dollar index at 89.75. So again, at that 89 handle, a very sharp downward move back to basically where we were a few years ago. If we start breaking below 89, look out. Okay, if we break below 89, look out. There's a lot of room to run to the downside. So that's a weakening of the U.S. dollar. That means your cost of living is going up because that's what you are using. You're using dollars. Okay, so you're going to need more dollars to live. All right, it's not because necessarily the demand for a lot of these products is necessarily going up. It could be. It depends on the good or service, obviously. But it's because you are devaluing the currency because of all of these reckless policies that we just can't get away from. Cannot get away from. And this is going to end in blood and tears. Overnight futures trading, we have the Dow Jones Industrial Average down about 0.4%, as is the S&P 500. The NASDAQ 100 is also down about 0.5%. It was a choppy session today during the day session, but the major indexes did end up closing down. Cash trade in Japan is also in the red, giving back 1.5%. A mixed bag across the pond in Europe. The biggest loser was the Italian exchange, giving back about 0.9%. Biggest gainer were the Spanish markets, putting on a gain of about 0.3%. Cash trade in Australia giving back 2%. Australia consumer sentiment drops from 11-year high. The Westpac Melbourne Institute Index of Consumer Sentiment fell 4.7% month on month to 113.1 in May from an 11-year high of 118.8 in April. So that is cooling off. Now, that is just the excuse, perhaps, that is going to be used as to why the Australian market is selling off 2% today. But we've seen these types of swings over the past week as well. So again, it's just the ever-changing narrative. It's just a story that has to be told that justifies this type of sell-off. It couldn't be because market forces are finally, you know, smelling a rat and finally understanding the inflationary policies are going to end in economic ruin. You know, it's just one other data point. It's just something to spin a story. Chinese stocks are also in the red, giving back 0.5%. On the commodity front, taking a little bit of a breather there as well. WTI and Brent are both down slightly over 1% right now. WTI, $64.71 a barrel. Brent, $67.93. Natural gas still flirting with that $3 handle at $2.99. Gasoline, $2.14. Gold and silver had a choppy session today. Gold is flat overnight. Silver is down. Gold is at $1,868 per ounce, so flirting with that technical level that I have been watching at $1,870 an ounce. I'd really like to see a monthly close above that level, and then I think we have some room to the upside to run, and it'll be a convincing run. Silver at $28.01, down about 0.2% overnight. Again, I'd like to see silver with a monthly close at 28 or above. And if we can see that, then we have some room to run to the upside as well. And if it can breach 30, then I think we're going to make a run for its all-time high at 50 in the not-too-distant future, if we can get above that level. And that's a big if, because that has been strong resistance for quite a while. Copper is also in the red, trading at $4.68 a pound. Lumber gave back 4.75%, 63 points, to now trade at $1,264 per 1,000 linear board feet. Still an astronomical number, but it has taken a big breather as of late. And to round it out, Uncle Sam's 10-year junk note is at 1.64%. So onward to a couple brief articles. This one is out of the South China Morning Post. China sends another warning on cryptocurrency risks amid wild fluctuations. Three Chinese state-backed financial associations have jointly issued a warning about the risks stemming from volatile cryptocurrencies and the latest step by Chinese authorities to tamp down on speculative trading and draw a clear distinction with the central bank's own digital currency. The National Internet Finance Association of China, a state-backed association of Chinese internet firms providing financial services, the China Banking Association on behalf of the country's banks, as well as the Payment and Clearing Association of China, on Tuesday warned their members to stay clear of any financing activities related to popular cryptocurrencies. They stated that any activity related to the exchange of fiat money for cryptocurrencies, providing intermediary services to facilitate trading, or conducting token-based derivatives trading could be charged as a criminal offense in China. So there you have it. Off to the gulags you go if you're caught dealing with cryptocurrencies in China. Don't you love it? Don't you love it? That was out of, again, the South China Morning Post. And then just a comment, another article out of Reuters. And this here, we have the statement. Again, this is basically from those three organizations that I just mentioned. So the statement also highlighted the risks of cryptocurrency trading, saying virtual currencies, quote, are not supported by real value, end quote. Their prices are easily manipulated and trading contracts are not protected by Chinese law. There you have it. It isn't backed or supported by any real value, but guess what? Neither are all of these phony baloney fiat currencies either. But when you compete with the government tends to win because the government can fine you, tax you, and throw you into prison. You understand? That's a little bit of a distinction there. There is some differences between governments and some sort of decentralized, quote-unquote, decentralized asset. Talk about crowding out all the time here. That's what we're seeing with Uncle Sam giving all of this extra unemployment money out there. They're competing. Uncle Sam is competing basically with small businesses, which have already been struggling, which have already been destroyed because of government policy. And they continue to get wrecked. They can't just increase wages to attract employees. Bigger companies can do that. They can afford to do it. The small guy can't. It's not as easily done. So the hits just keep on coming with what's going on here. But there's another statement that was made from the Chinese authorities. Again, I'll repeat it. In trading contracts are not protected by Chinese law. That's a big one because to me, that's important. You have to have recourse. When you have a free market capitalistic system, it really comes down to property rights. You do not have the right to steal. You do not have the right to defraud somebody. So you have contract law. You have rights. You can enter into an agreement freely with somebody else, with another institution, another organization. And those particulars, whatever they may be within that contract, are stated within that contract. And if somebody doesn't hold up their end of the bargain, you can sue them. Or if something happens at a business, you can sue them. You slip and fall, something's wrong, you go into a business, you walk into a store, you can say, let me see the manager, let me see the owner, let's see if we can rectify this issue. And if you can't rectify it together amongst yourselves, then maybe you go to court. You get lawyers involved, what have you. Okay? There is some type of recourse. When you get involved with these cryptocurrencies, but again, especially Bitcoin, what is your recourse if something should happen that impacts you negatively through perhaps no fault of your own? Where do you go? What corporation can you go to? What CEO can you go talk to see if you can rectify this issue? There's nothing. You have nothing. To me, that's a big deal. There are other cryptocurrencies. You have Ethereum. You have XRP through Ripple. You can go talk to those CEOs of those companies and a handful of others. You can go talk to them. Now, I don't know what the argument might be. Maybe you have to go talk to the miners, the Bitcoin miners. All right, well, good luck with that. Maybe. But that's a big question, and that needs to be answered. What is your legal recourse if something should happen to you? And I think that's going to be another question that a lot of money managers are going to start asking. And they're going to start asking, is it prudent for CEOs and CFOs to adopt Bitcoin? In particular, we'll just continue to pick on Bitcoin, right? To put it on their balance sheet, basically like Elon Musk did with Tesla. Because look at this volatility. That's shareholder money. I mean, do you really want to risk all of that money? Yeah, maybe you get a lottery ticket and you win a jackpot. But maybe it's a big nothing burger too. And you get slammed and you lose a ton of money in the process. What are you going to do as a result? Are you going to have to start borrowing more money to make up for it? Are you going to slash a dividend? What are you going to do? And I think the wheels are going to start turning for a lot of money managers. Just think of Vanguard. Their whole thing is slow and steady wins the race. Their whole thing is about generating income via dividends. Not about trying to catch a lottery ticket. Same thing with BlackRock and Fidelity. You know the names. You think they really want to have all of these corporations' balance sheets dealing with Bitcoin when you have this type of volatility? I don't think so. And when you can't answer where it's coming from, when you can't answer who created it, is it a government that is not fond of the United States? Can they get involved with that? No, they can't get involved with that. Can they even risk getting involved with that? And I think for a lot of them, the answer will be no. And there's not going to be widespread adoption of it. Again, maybe some other cryptocurrencies that actually solve a problem, that are a better mousetrap, that can process more transactions, that do use less energy than what is being used now, that is more secure, that can be instantaneously confirmed using various technologies that they might be employing. That I can understand, that I can get behind, because you're talking to me like a human being. You're using a logical argument. You're saying, here's a problem, here's a potential solution. Okay, I got it. I never hear that with Bitcoin. I hear that with other cryptocurrencies. I don't hear that with Bitcoin. No matter how many idiots they march on to CNBC day after day, night after night, I never hear it. I just hear, you don't get it, you don't understand it. You're just not getting it, man. It's decentralized, it's transparent, it's the future, it's going to revolutionize it. All right, good. Tell me why, tell me how. And they can't do it. They just want the winning lottery ticket. Just, if they just told me that that's what they wanted, I would have so much more respect for them. Just tell me you want a winning lottery ticket. I can understand that. Doesn't mean I agree with your philosophy or your behavior to do it, but it's your money, it's your risk. But the other thing that I do have a problem with when it comes to Bitcoin, again, is not knowing where it came from. Because are you supporting a country or an organization that is hostile to our interests, that is doing some very nefarious things with those funds? That's a big question. And that needs answered. But everybody is just blinded by the glitz, blinded by the possibility that they are going to get one of those winning lottery tickets, that they couldn't care less. And I think that is part of this zeitgeist that we are in that is going to lead to our downfall, not just here in the United States, but globally. Because again, people don't care about much of anything else. As long as the numbers on your account keep going up, you don't care at what expense. You don't care if you're financing a hostile government or a terroristic organization. You don't care because your account is up. People need to wake up. We have to stop doing this. But this is what happens. These are the types of behaviors that start to exist and then replicate very, very quickly and are copied all over the place when you have reckless behavior and criminal behavior from one federal government and one central bank after the next, pushing people further and further out onto the risk curve, destroying their purchasing power. Doesn't matter what fiat currency you're talking about. It's a race to the bottom. This is a collapse. This is where we are headed. We ain't seen nothing yet. This is the early innings. We bought some time with these trillions of dollars that we've thrown into the system. And that, of course, is inflationary by definition. And that is going to be what causes a lot of the downfall and a lot of the problems that we have yet to experience. But they're already starting to make their way through. We already are witnessing them through the weakest links. Weakest links being those weak countries, those weak economies. And they're making their way up, down the chain, however you want to put it, into the larger, more developed economies. It's that intersection of economics, politics, and social issues. Yes, there's going to be something, there's going to be an issue, and it could be any one of them, in the economic avenue, political avenue, social avenue, that is the final straw, but it's always all of those working in tandem. Prime example is what's taking place in Colombia. It was a tax hike that was suggested, that was put forward. All hell broke loose. Enough's enough. Okay, they said, we'll pull it back. We're not going to do the tax hike anymore. People said, screw you. We don't care. That was just the tip of the iceberg. There are so many more issues that we have to deal with. It's structural, folks, and it's structural on a global scale. This is not going to be unwound anytime soon. We're in the process, I believe, but it's going to be a very long process, and it's going to be a very painful process. And if we continue to implement the policies that we are, all it's going to do is make things worse. And there's no sign of any of this stopping. And if we should get a major pullback within the equity markets, well, Washington, D.C. is just going to panic beyond belief, and then you're going to start hearing more and more about hundreds of billions of dollars, maybe even trillions of dollars, of course, because we're in the era of trillions. Oh, don't worry. Here comes Uncle Sam again. Here comes Jay Powell at the Fed and the printing press. Here we come again. So they're just going to continue to shoot ourselves in the foot. They're just going to continue to do it. So you talk about con jobs, it's everywhere. It's not just Bitcoin, it's the entire economy. It's the whole thing is a stinking Ponzi scheme. So you better be aware, you better be prepared, and you better stay diversified. Stay vigilant and stay with the Capital News. I am Alex Kuraitis. Godspeed.